It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
For all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Welcome on in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hope you're all well. What is this weird room we are in right now?
This would be the studio that you had built about 10 years ago now?
Let's see, it was December of 2012, so we're coming up 8-9 years in here. And by the way, I would love to take credit for it, but that's my guy, Randy Rogers, the man who triggered that.
So coming up, so it'll be 9 years in December of this year.
Yeah.
So your 10-year mark next year.
Yep.
That's where we are, Scotty. I know it looks different because we got a high-rise that's going up right behind us. That's going to shut out a lot of the city skyline for us.
I don't really want to see the mountains anyways.
Yeah, let's.
They're overrated. Well,
you're not anymore because that's going to be a big building from what I hear. Have you heard of how many floors that thing's supposed to be?
No, I did not.
It's supposed to be mini.
Really?
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Is that a hotel?
Yeah. I could be wrong, but my brother-in-law is kind of in on that project, and he said that's going to be a big one.
Well, and just, you know, driving by and looking how deep they had to dig down.
They dug for a year and a half.
Yeah.
They just kept digging and digging and digging.
It's funny because, you know, like, you know, you see these old pictures of Salt Lake and like, wow, it's really changed. But last 20 years it's changed. Because I remember, Lloyd, you remember this, like you know, this hotel right over here was just an old parking lot. Sometimes you'd park there to be able to sneak over here.
I swear that hotel's been built since I've been here.
I think so. I think it was right around that time, yeah.
This hotel, but I think that the corner building was there, but this hotel
was not.
Yeah,
corner building was there, but that hotel was not, yep.
Because there was, anyways, we've seen it change quite a bit. Did you even get my text? I sent you a text. I was freaking out, man.
Lloyd and I were chatting with Katie from Homie, who's going to join us, and she was making fun of some of the stuff that we've been through over the last couple of weeks here at the station.
Oh, yeah.
And so I didn't even see it until you walked in, and so we're walking in here, and so, yeah, I just saw it. I'm sorry.
No, the freeway's it was a mess. It was a mess right until I got to the accident. But
accident?
No, I don't think so. It looked like it was like maybe two diesels that jackknifed or something. It didn't look like anybody was hurt, but...
Well, that's not good.
It cut off...
That sounds pretty bad.
It cut off all the lanes northbound of I-15. I sent you a quick screen grab of that thing.
Yeah.
And it was backed up from, like, 80th South all the way to, I don't know, maybe close to that, 146 South, past Bangor.
I got a text from my wife, too.
Oh, geez.
I forgot to leave something at home. Anyway.
Keys?
No.
Worse.
Oh, even worse?
Yeah.
So everybody be safe out there on the freeways, but we made it, Scotty. We are ready to deliver the sports news.
Some hot sports takes for you.
Yeah.
Because we care.
You got a lot coming your way.
A lot. And we're excited because guess what? Football season begins this weekend.
Can you believe
FCS
it?
Football. Catch the excitement. I'm fired up.
Football kicks off. I mean, you've already been able to watch a football game with Jacksonville State. I think they were the first to kick off, weren't they?
Yeah.
Deion Sanders' team. And now we get to watch a little bit of snow football, Weber State football. I'm excited to catch up with Jay Hill today.
10:30, we'll chat with Jay Hill. David Locke, I believe, will join us coming up a little bit later on in the program today. So we got a lot going on.
It's a busy day, buddy.
Really is, but crazy game last night. Let's talk about it. It's time for your starting lineup.
is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love! On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Conley, step back three. Swish, that's 26. Equaling the franchise record. Ingles, guarded by Biombo. Jabs with his left foot, now drives, help comes. Cross court to Donovan for the franchise record, got it. 27 threes tonight for the Utah Jazz.
27 threes in a game. 27 made threes.
I said this a few weeks ago, I will stand by it. There will be a game this year where the Jazz make 30 threes in a game. It's going to happen this year.
Well, you're only two threes away on this one.
I know.
And as I sent out a tweet and pointed out, you hit this record with Bojan Bogdanović not hitting a single three. He was 0 of 4 from three. You hit this record by getting 19 threes from your bench, which is an NBA record, Scotty.
Yeah.
First time in NBA history that you've had 19 made threes from your bench, at least in NBA recorded history.
With the minivan coming through with seven of those bad boys.
Yeah, and I thought that this was a really cool stat. The most made threes without a missed attempt was Jeff Hornacek back in 1990. Let's see, where did I put those in my notes? I had put those in my note. Oh, right there, 1994. He was 8 of 8.
Wow.
And George Niang is that over nearly the caught it at 7 of 7.
Is that in a game or is it over this? Because if George goes out and hits 2 for 2. Oh, okay.
That's in a game. All right. Made in a game. Can you believe Jeff Hornacek was 8 of 8 in a game?
The fact that he shot 8 threes in a game, no, that blows me away. I can't believe Jerry
Sloan let him.
Yeah, I can't believe Jerry just like, hey, sit down. Like, I'm making them. I don't care. Sit down.
Get on the end of that bench.
I can't even believe that they made 28 threes. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. They're going to hit 30. Bojan just knocks down a couple. You know, they're going to hit that 30 mark.
Yeah.
But there's something pretty incredible about this team, and I sit there and watch them in disbelief at times. There's always something in the back of my mind of, but if they're in a really tight game and things are tough, and this shooting goes sideways because they take the shot at the top of the clock so often, and they'll hoist it from anywhere, talking 5-6 feet behind the arc. Like they'll put it up in transition. Jordan Clarkson will shoot it at any time. And there's still this thing in the back of my head of, if they're in a tight race and they're relying on these to fall, what if they don't fall? You know, against Charlotte, you know, I just sat there with my mouth just gaped open because I'm watching Jordan Clarkson do what he does. And I'm like, he just made another one. He just made another one.
Yeah.
And we're talking in 20 seconds, he's made two threes, he's assisted on a three, and he's gotten to the rim. In like 25, 30 seconds. And you're like, this is just crazy what I'm watching. It doesn't even feel like normal basketball. It feels like some type of wacky, like AAU or some type of wacky church league.
But it works.
But it works because they are all efficient. They're hitting at a high pace.
Did you ever play Double Dribble on the old NES?
No.
Lloyd?
Dr. J? Wasn't Dr. J on that Double Dribble?
No. They had no like connections to anything.
Oh, okay.
Nintendo Entertainment, like the original Nintendo. Okay. Like Double Dribble. Like and I know some people out there, they got to know what I'm talking about here. There was a spot on the corner, right-hand side, corner three, where you could hit a three and you could make it every single time. And so your main priority in this game was just to get a steal, flare it out to that guy, and crank threes the whole game. Just boom, 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 boom. And as fast and as quick as you possibly could. And I'm watching the Jazz. And by the way, I was telling you the story off the air. So I'm driving back from Logan from the coaching show last night. And it's middle of the third quarter by the time I get home. And Locke's ticked off because the Jazz are down 11. I could tell he's upset. And Charlotte's forcing turnovers, are getting points in transition, and you can tell there's a high level of frustration there. And so, you know, I go in, I say hi to the wife and kids and sit down and I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to pick up and I'm going to start watching the game live. Jazz are up like 10 in the fourth quarter. I'm like,
it was 91-90, and I stepped out and ran an errand real quick. I came back. Yep. I was gone like just a couple minutes, and it was a 111-92 when I got back.
I'm like,
and I was like, I had to rewind the game. I was like, wow, what the heck just happened?
That's it.
Is that it?
Yeah, but it's on the
I think
other
that
end
game, by the way, Double Dribble, used to be on the regular computer, and it had Dr. J and Larry Bird.
Well, yeah, that's a different game.
Was it Double Dribble, though?
I had that on the Commodore.
Dr. J versus Bird. That was its entirely different
That's
game.
What it was. Okay, yeah. Maybe that was what the name. I was thinking it was Double Dribble.
I had that Dr. J and Bird. I had that on the Commodore 64.
Oh, man, we're old. Jeez.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Commodore 64 before the Apple? Or like,
I remember we didn't have one. We weren't as fancy as you were.
That wasn't mine. That was my brother's. That was my brother's, and I only got to watch him play it. I didn't get to actually.
That's kind of messed up, man. It should be for the family.
I had to stand like 5 feet away from the system at all times. Otherwise, I'd get wrecked.
Until you started choking him with the controller cord.
No.
The balance of power. It took a while for it to transfer.
It took a long time.
I know these stories well.
But when it shifted, it shifted. And it was not family friendly.
Now you make him watch.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Now you make him stand 10 feet back from watching his own Netflix. Now, get back there further.
Hey, could you help me with half the payment on this monthly? No.
No. And in fact, you're upgrading to a family plan.
And you're going to pay me $10 to watch it.
Yeah. That's how it's going to go.
He's like, hey, I'm looking at the viewing history here. Could we not watch maybe some of this stuff?
No, that never happens more than once a week.
But at the end of the day, it's just so much. I mean, this is, and again, look, there's people out there that'll naysay and say, to your point, like this may not be sustainable in the playoffs. This may not be sustainable in a 7-game series. That's what the knock on the old 7 seconds or less Phoenix Suns teams were. But hey, if Tim Donaghy doesn't get in the way of those Suns teams, maybe they do end up winning a title. You know, we don't know. So, like, I look at it, and I give so much credit to Quinn Snyder and this coaching staff for realizing this is what we want to do. This is what we think we can build our team around. This is what we think we can do to be successful. Let's go all in with it. And not be, okay, let maybe try this, or maybe, you know, this seems a little extreme. Maybe let's back. No, this is the way we play. We're going all in, and let's do it.
So what I can appreciate about this to a certain extent with consistency is in the NBA with a 7-game series, averages usually get an opportunity to present themselves.
Yes.
In a 7-game series, and I want people out there to think about this. In a 7-game series, typically – averages get to present themselves. In the NFL playoffs, you could have averages for days.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's gone in a game, and it doesn't matter.
Correct.
You just have a game that it all falls apart. But in a 7-game series, you would hope that averages eventually present themselves and that the Jazz could overcome even 2 games where their averages just tank out.
Yeah.
But their percentages through the season – crop up and they do what they did in the second half against Charlotte last night. That's your hope. Because the brand of basketball I watch, because I am a Jerry Sloan traditionalist. Like, I subscribe to what Jerry brought to the game because that's who taught me the game and that's where I learned the game. So when I see things outside of the consistency of getting your back to the basket and forcing a ball down through the hoop, it's like, oh, man, is this going to bite you at some point?
Yeah.
Because that's why he went away from it, right? That's why he didn't allow it, because he felt like it could bite you in a given game.
Well, I mean, his old thing, too, was like, look, the closer you get to the rim, the easier the shot is.
Exactly. And I think that, and I can't quote the conversation with him, but I do remember having multiple conversations about this, and I think he was always afraid of long rebounds into quick transition.
Yes.
Off the three.
Yep, and that's a fair criticism as well. You know, and the other element to it as well is you look at early shots, and you brought that up, you know, early shots in the shot clock. Well, you know, we grew up watching Hoosiers and watching Jerry Sloan coach, where, you know, Norm Adell saying, I want 4 passes before a shot. You know, that stuff, you know, is just kind of ingrained into us. And I thought Quinn Snyder the other day said, look, if we get an early shot, the longer you take in a possession, the longer it is for something bad to happen. If you got a good look in the early possession, take the shot. And that's something that we've had to kind of adjust our minds around.
Yeah, because it doesn't equate either.
Because even as a play-by-play guy, when, you know, I'm calling a game and I see a player in transition where, you know, maybe it's a two-on-one fast break and you're thinking, oh, this is great, get to the rim. And he pulls up and shoots a three with 2 seconds into the shot. You're like, what are you? And then he makes it, you're like, oh, okay, great shot. Good for you. But it's just, it's hard for us, a lot of us, to kind of adjust to this. Yeah.
I'm still not used to it. You know who surprises me more than anybody with that that I've ever watched in basketball is Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
Because Jordan, like, especially last night, there were a couple possessions where he dribbled twice and shot it 4 feet behind the three and knocked it down. And it's, and at first you're like, well, maybe, oh, okay. You don't even have really time to critique it much. But I'm with you. Like, there are times where it's like, well, there's got to be some type of movement and motion in this offensive set to prepare and get – oh, he made it. Never mind. and then they're back down to the other end of the court.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting philosophy. It's made it a lot of fun to watch this Jazz game. That first half of that game last night, and I know we were talking to DJ, and I know that there's some thoughts and concerns on how good the Hornets are, and I can appreciate and agree with that. But the first half of that game was as fun a game as I've watched.
Yeah.
And the Hornets stuck in it. But what I believe is the Hornets had one of their best halves of the season. And the Jazz had one of their most mediocre halves of the season. A good half. I mean, they were knocking down threes, and they put up whatever it was, 58 or close to 60 points. I think it was, maybe it was 60 points in the first half. But the Hornets were right there alongside with them, and it was just high-paced, fun action in that first half of that game. And then the Jazz, at the end of the third and into the fourth, were like, all right, well, Hornets aren't going to hang with us. And the Hornets didn't. The Hornets started clanking threes. Jazz started sinking them, and you saw the separation. What did DJ say, 41-11?
41-11 run.
It's hard to win.
Gordon Hayward left the game with the a re-aggravation of the hand injury, played 25 minutes last night, ended up with 21 points. And it was a typical Gordon Hayward night for Charlotte. Gordon Hayward scores a lot of points and Charlotte loses.
Yeah.
And that's...
Nobody wanted to see Gordon leave. I saw him roll over that hand. That's a horrible thing.
Yeah, that's not good.
When a hand gets caught under you and you roll in it, you know, you hope that he's going to be okay.
I just love last night. You had three Jazz players coming off the bench with 20 or more points. Ingles with 21, Clarkson with 20, and George Niang with 21.
19 threes from your bench. 19 three-pointers made from your bench. NBA record. I think if anything that sticks out to me, 19 three-pointers made from your bench is just mind-boggling. To think that you had, and it was three guys that made the 19, right?
Yep. Joe had 7, Clarkson had 5, and Niang had 7. Overall, your bench was 19 of 28 shooting threes.
you're so
silly.
You're gonna win doing that.
Like, we're living in a world where that's a great night for an entire team, let alone just your bench.
You're gonna win doing that.
Yeah, you're going to win a lot doing that.
Okay, so I need – maybe I could talk to – David might be able to I wouldn't mind getting Coach Lacombe on or somebody else to help me understand where the Jazz are able to hit from the perimeter, the way they hit from the perimeter, to help me understand how in maybe – 20 offensive possessions, they're finding a very good look at three. And I'm talking 20 offensive possessions where you're considering or wanting to shoot that three, which is every possession right now for the Utah Jazz. I would say out of 23 looks that you're getting, what would you say, 12 right now, maybe 14 are a fairly clean look?
Yeah. I'd say that's a pretty good ratio there.
And I'm just going off of kind of a compilation of what I've witnessed and watched. It just feels like guys are getting open. I know the blender gets going, and I know the help defense is crazy, and I know that you have to pull help look down to Rudy, and I know help look leaves somebody open on the blender. So I get that, but you would think at some point a defense would be like, all right, well, we can't do this anymore. Like, we have to figure out something defensively where
– I'll give up twos all day. I'll give up as many Rudy Gobert dunks as he wants.
Right.
I'm not letting this team shoot threes.
But we've got to put – and we've got to run them off, and we've got to make sure we're contesting, and we can't – because last night, watching in the second half of that game against Charlotte, it was like open look, open look, open look, open look.
Yeah.
And I do know that Charlotte doesn't have anything even close to man up with Rudy to stop any type of roll at the rim. And maybe Charlotte was just desperate doing everything they could to slow that down. But it felt like at one point I'm thinking, Charlotte's got to do something to stop this bleeding.
Well, do you feel like that's what – I mean, the Clippers held the Jazz to just 34 attempts, and they were 12 of 34.
And maybe that's something that the Clippers feel a little bit better defending or doing.
Because you got Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Beverley.
Right.
You've got perimeter defenders.
Yep.
And Charlotte does not.
Charlotte, you could tell, and that help defense was just leaving an open Jazz player, yeah, knocking down threes. And I would say of the seven, shots that Niang took. Look at that shot that Niang took right there.
Yeah, not a guy within 5 feet of him.
No. So, like, it's 7 of 7 is fantastic, and I love seeing Niang do well. You know how I feel about that guy. I wish every Jazz fan could know what type of guy George Niang is. But, you know, you get 7 open looks like that, you would hope that you could knock down at least 50% of them.
Yeah.
Now, he knocked down
100%.
What's 7 of 7?
Carry the one.
Do you have any paper?
Yeah. Would. Can you help us out here? I believe that's 100%.
Let me get my phone calculator. Seven on seven. Yeah, that's 100%.
Thanks for
so. Back. George Niang is a stud. 7 of 7 is fantastic.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and look who's hanging out with us in studio. One of our favorite people on the entire planet. It is Katie from Homie. Katie, how are you?
What's up, Katie?
I am great. How are you guys?
Doing good. How are you?
Lovely.
Life's okay?
Life's great. I was at the game last night.
Nice.
It was just loud as loud can be. It was great to have, you know, fans and excitement in there. It was great.
So I've got a lot of friends that are looking for homes, Katie. And
yeah,
they're looking, you know, they're looking for houses. And you can't find a house right now in today's market.
It's really crazy. There's not a lot of houses on the market, and the ones that do come on the market go really, really quickly.
Yeah, and I'm talking condos, townhomes, you know, especially Ramblers in the $400,000 range. You know, even when you're looking at $700,000-$800,000 homes, they're gone.
Yeah, my husband will kill me for saying this. We're not moving, but we went and looked at a house over the weekend, and it was just an open house, and it was a fairly expensive home. And
up north?
It was in Kaysville.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe how many people were at that open house. Like,
yeah,
it was crowded.
Jam-packed.
It was crowded. And we're not thinking of moving. We were just like, oh, let's just go look. And
yeah,
I was just like, holy cow, I don't think I've ever seen this many people at an open house before.
There's no way you guys leave O-Town.
No, we're Ogden lifers for sure.
Ogden needs you.
Yeah.
Hey, so Katie, my question is, I do know that there is a way to get some early viewings and early listings through Homie, correct?
Yeah, if you just talk to your agent, you know, sign up, be a Homie on the Homie app, talk to one of our agents on there, and they'll let you know any homes that are coming up on the market that are coming on through Homie, and they can get you in and see what homes really fit you and get you a chance to get into those homes just a little bit quickly.
I want people to know that you can get an early look. At least you can stay up on these homes and condos and townhomes that are going to be listed, and it's just a good way to get just a quick peek of what's coming. Because if you get a quick peek and you just love it and you throw the offer in first, you know, maybe first offer, sometimes first offer has most impact. I know it did for me when I was selling my condo, and
yeah,
and we moved that way.
Yeah, and you know what's so great is that with Homie, your buyer agent is really there to just constantly be on the lookout for you. So you can look and see what homes are coming on the market, but they're always going to be looking. And maybe, you know, we've got contracts with some of the home builders that they can look and see what homes are, you know, coming back on the market that are new or new builds. And so they can get you more homes. They can help you look for sale by owner homes. We're not just looking at stuff on the MLS. We're looking to make sure that we find you the right home for you, no matter where it's listed.
I love the personal service, and I love the, if you need to be urgent, you can be urgent. If you need to dial it back a little bit, you're going to work at people's own pace. Whatever you need to do, you can do it there at Homie.
Yeah, we're really here to make sure that we help you find the home of your dreams, and we're there to make sure your dreams come true with the savings and with the service.
By the way, if you do buy through Homie and you've got a home that you're selling, they will sell your home for free. So go to homie.com, get signed up as a buyer. They'll sell your home for free. If not, you'll get some of those early peeks at those homes and get shopping a little bit more wise than you have been, because it's tough to get in on a home right now. And Homie can help you.
Yep, we're here to help you and make sure that you feel supported the whole way through.
Go to homie.com for more information. That's homie.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated.
Who is more important to the Utah Jazz, Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell?
It's tough. It's a coin flip, and they both do different things for that team, which is great for the Jazz. You can make an argument both ways, but this might be the year where you give Rudy a bit of the edge. I think Gobert has been like a top five MVP guy this year. He's been unbelievable, not just the usual defensive stuff, but screen setting, creating space for his guys to operate with those big screens, rolling off them, just the little things that often don't show up on the stat sheet. Every time I'm watching Jazz games, like, he's doing something that's impactful on the offensive end. He's doing a little bit of everything out there, and it's really powered this Jazz start.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
And Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State, about to join the program. He gets set for showdown against the Bengals of Idaho State. FCS football is here. I'm excited, man. This is fun.
That'll be nice. It's a nice change of pace, because now we'll have FCS football and spring ball to really pay attention to. You know, spring ball kicks off here in just a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah.
Early March, early mid-March, Utah and BYU. Utah State, I think, is mid-March, isn't it?
I want to say late. Yeah, early March, yeah. I get the dates on that. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
I mean, we got spring ball kicking up here soon. So it begs the question, are we going to do a traditional 60 and 60 this year?
Yes, we are. We got to get back to the old 60 and 60.
I hope everybody understands what happened to us last year with our 60 and 60. Scotty, Lloyd, and myself met four times through all of the pandemic fallout, and we're like, all right, well, we're going to shave it down to a 30 and 30. And then we're like, well, we're probably not going to have a season. And then it was like, well, we can't even get coaches on the line because they're doing it. It was kind of a tough thing.
Yeah. Well, a season begins coming up on February 27th, as Weber State takes on Idaho State in Pocatello. I don't know what they call it now, but it'll always be the mini-dome to me. It's Jay Hill, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Doing well. You ready to start this season? This is crazy.
Oh, it's been such a long time coming, so we are. We're ready to go.
Well, I know that Weber State's ready to go with you too, Coach. I saw your beautiful extension. Talk about the extension, how it came about, and how you feel about it.
Well, this was just something that's been in the works for a while, and it was actually signed back in April. But just with everything going on with COVID and everything, just it didn't make any sense to announce it back then. There's too many other important things going on. But it was big for me. It was big for the school, just in that the relationship continues to go on, and thank heavens they're happy with me, and you know, we love being here. So
Coach, I'm curious, in an extension situation like that, how does that affect your coordinators and your other assistants? Does that rework their deal, the assistant pool? How does that work?
Well, it just depends. Each school is so different on how they do assistant coaches' contracts. Some guys are on one-year contracts, some are on two, some are on three. Basically, what I have here is, as long as my contract is, the assistants are pretty much safe unless they do something really stupid or go out and, you know, get in trouble. But they're pretty much tied to me. Although they are on one-year deals, I'm not out there just firing guys to fire. So,
well, let's talk about Idaho State, and let's talk about leading up to the season. We talked a lot during the pandemic and into the fall as well, and there were some weeks that were good weeks and some weeks that were bad weeks in terms of testing and things like that. How's your team been overall throughout camp?
Well, this has been the best we've been since the start of the pandemic, knock on wood, obviously. But very few cases. I think the vaccines that are out there now and just the fact that a lot of people have already had the virus is helping with this. And so we've had very, very few cases in the last 6 weeks. And the team continues to roll forward, and we're just hoping that will continue.
Where are you at as far as practice, Coach? How are you feeling about your team, your roster, the guys' preparation, their commitment, their level of focus? Just in terms of getting ready for this season to kick off, where are you at and how are you feeling about this group?
Well, that's an interesting question. I was actually talking to my wife, Sarah, last night about it. It feels so different because normally in a fall camp, you can come in for a month and focus on football only. And it's not been that way this semester because these guys are in, at least 12 units. And school is such a heavier load than we're used to, say, when we're in August camp. And football camp in August is from morning till night. And now you're looking at, two or three hours a day. And so the ability to get out there and have as many walkthroughs as we normally would have had or as many just hard physical grinder practices, it's just not been as feasible. Having said that, I don't think we're far off of where we would have been for a normal fall camp, but it's definitely had its challenges to do it this way.
This, and you've talked about this team has the potential of being the best team you've had there at Weber State. And even though it's in spring and even though it's a six-game schedule, does this team feel like they're embracing the special year that this team could possibly have?
No, I think so. I'm looking out my window of my office right now, and I see two of our best players out there on the jugs machine and catching balls, and they're two of our best guys. And I think that they feel they have a sense of what this team can be. We're going to have to stay healthy, and I've said that all along, and we're going to have to, battle the COVID situation the right way, which we have to this point. And but I think this team's got not got a chance. I think this team is special.
So, Coach, kind of walk us through this. You've got the six-game schedule, correct? You've got a six-game regular schedule, and then you'll start right into postseason play after that six-game regular schedule. Kind of walk us through what the season formatically will look like.
Yep. So we play three games starting Saturday, and we'll play three straight games, and then we have a bye. And that bye is really in there in case something gets canceled along the way. That bye week's in there for a makeup week. And then we play three more games on the schedule, and then we have another bye in case another game needs to get rescheduled.
Okay.
So it's an eight-week season. You play six of those 8 weeks. After that, we go to the playoffs in mid-April. And for mid-April, there's up to four playoff games that you could play to win the national championship. And that will be held on May 16th.
So you got to win four to get there.
I'll bet you're going to have to win five of the six at least. You might have to go undefeated get into the playoffs. And I'm just saying to get to the playoffs. And then after that, the way it's set right now is a 16-team playoff. You're going to have to win four games to win the championship.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, because I remember hearing a couple different alternatives here. Are there still auto bids, or is everything at large?
Yeah, so right now, the way it sits right now, there's 11 automatic bids, there's 16 teams that will get in, so there's only five at-larges. And they've talked about if more teams end up falling out or they just don't have enough eligible teams to make it feel like they can field a good 16 teams, they've talked about maybe a 14-team playoff where the top two teams get byes the first round.
Gotcha.
So, and again, I don't see that occurring unless all of a sudden there's just disaster strikes and we're having a hard time getting these games off.
Have you had to? Look, I know the coaching fraternity is extremely tight, but have you leaned on a few people to kind of get some ideas on how to handle coaching and how to handle playing football games in the middle of a pandemic with guys that dealt with it at the FBS level?
Well, you know what? I've talked to a bunch of guys, and I'll be honest, I probably should have done it more. We just get so engulfed in what we're doing and trying to get your own team ready that I'll use this week now a little bit to just make sure the travel issues, people that came across some travel issues that I'm straight on, and I'll continue to bounce some ideas off of people. But it's been so much just trying to get our own team ready to this point that, I guess it's both what you said.
Gotcha.
So much fun to think Weber State will be kicking off against Idaho State coming up this weekend. You got to wait 3 weeks until you get one back here in Ogden up at Weber State, and that's UC Davis is going to be coming into the stadium or into Ogden there. Coach, I'm curious if you've heard from city officials, from school officials, and kind of your ideas and thoughts on fan attendance. Can people start to buy tickets? What's work in the works there?
Yeah, so what they're telling us right now is 5,000 people to the first game, which is, I mean, that's a good amount.
Yeah, that's good.
Based on what we're going through. And we should sell those suckers out. With this team that's coming back, every one of those tickets, there should be waiting room for those, because these players deserve to have fans in the stands. And let's be real, at this point, I'm ready for a big attendance game. So that's what I think this country needs, and it's what the community needs, in my opinion.
Is there possibilities later on, as maybe numbers start to drop, that could be revisited and you could put more people in there?
I sure hope so. Myself and the AD have talked about it. I don't know where the state's going to be at that point, but I mean, we're looking 3 weeks away still before we get a home game. And I'm just hoping that as numbers continue to drop as fast as they have, and with all the vaccinations that are out there now, that those numbers continue to climb.
Coach, for the Weber State fans out there that maybe haven't paid close attention, haven't followed along since all of this stuff has gone down, maybe there's been some coaching staff changes or maybe some changes that have been made because guys have left. Have you got any reports on different staff to look for or different play callers? And how much will that staff change when Weber State fans show up coming up in 3 weeks?
Yeah, we've actually had a lot of staff changes. Actually, you know, Quinton Ganther a couple weeks ago took a job with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that was pretty publicized. And, you know, that hurts losing such a phenomenal running back coach. But the ones we've replaced them with, I love. You know, Robert Conley was a guy that played for us at the University of Utah, was a great player, an all-conference guy. He's going to take over the running backs. And he's done a phenomenal job with that group so far since he's had them. We hired Bojay Filimoyatu from Utah State, who I believe is one of the better D-line coaches in the country. And he's already made that group really good. And then we hired Andre Dyson to coach our corners, who, you know, the Utah fans remember him as such a great player at the University of Utah, and then played 7 years in the NFL, played in the Super Bowl, and those guys are lucky to be coached by him. So those are the three new faces on top of what I believe was already one of the best coaching staffs in the country. So I'm excited to watch these guys work.
What do you see out of Idaho State? What do you expect out of the Bengals in this one?
Well, they're going to give us everything they've got. I know that. This is an important game for them. They've looked at us as, you know, that program within the Big Sky that, you know, everybody's chasing, and if they can get their program to be similar to what we've accomplished here in the last 3 or 4 years, then they'll be on track to what they're trying to get done. And I know for a fact that This is a huge game for them, and it is for us too. It's been a huge rivalry over the years. They've always played us well up there, and they're a tough team at home. So I, you know, just as coach speak would be, we better be ready to go because they're not going to overlook us, and we can't do that to them. We got to give them our best shot.
Do you know if they're allowing fans up there?
They are allowing 2,800 fans. They've given us very, very few tickets from our end based on conference rules that, just publicly speaking, I'm not real happy about, just because I think this is about the players, and the players' parents and families need to be able to go.
Yes.
And they give too much to not be able to watch their kids play.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping like crazy that we get the tickets that we need for our players and that we get the 2,800 fans in there, because I really believe that the players deserve to play in front of someone.
Yeah, Coach Hill, I know you've got a really good close relationship with your athletes, with the guys on that team, and I'm just curious, in your personal conversations with some of these young men that are out there playing ball right now, how confused, how scared, how nervous, how distracted do they feel to you?
Most of them, not at all. They're ready to go play a season just like any other season, most of them. Some of them have had some struggles. You know, there's been some family deaths due to the COVID. There's always issues with this age group and all the other things that they have to overcome just in the world, with devices, with family problems back home. There's already things that they have to deal with, and then you throw a pandemic on top of it. But I think our guys have handled it well, and I think they're ready to move on. And, you know, nobody's being dumb. We're not saying that this is still not a dangerous disease, because we know it is, but they're ready to move on, and we're taking every precaution we can to keep them safe and those around them safe. I just think they want to get back to being normal, and I understand that.
What about grades? It would have been so difficult for me through this, Coach, like just to get online and to stay connected with professors. And if I'm not on campus or required to be on campus, I would have been all kinds of distracted. I don't know if I'd have been academically eligible for you. Are you struggling with that?
Well, very little. You know, we've actually had our two highest GPAs ever. And I think that our academic advisors have done a phenomenal job. And I think the extra time that the players have had, you know, to get work done, because there's just, man, they've not had as many required hours as far as football goes to this point. So our guys seem to be handling that actually pretty well. I'm with you. I would not have wanted to go to school with all the online classes that they're taking right now. I was a social, in-person guy that wanted to learn and hear it right from the professor's mouth. But that's just something that you deal with and you move forward, because there's no other way around it right now.
Well, Coach, excited to chat with you weekly throughout the season. Good luck coming up on Saturday, and can't wait to chat with you next week, hopefully talking about a big W.
Good luck, Coach.
Absolutely. All right, boys. Appreciate you.
There you go.
We're behind him.
Yeah.
I love his hires. Big Con was a beast with the University of Utah, and he's been in the coaching ranks for a lot of years.
And Bojay's the man. I love Bojay.
And what can you say about Andre Dyson?
Yeah.
For crying out loud, that guy is a legend.
And we didn't have a chance to chat about this month, but congratulations to Quinton Ganther, who's on Urban Meyer's staff there with Jacksonville.
That's a
big jump there.
Big
from
jump.
Weber State to the NFL.
Yeah. And I hope that he can really find his footing in the league, because once you find your footing in the league, you can
have a job for 25 years.
You really can. If you get a good reputation, you'll be there as long as you want.
Yeah,
they tend to circulate good coaches, because they're tough to find that can really communicate with that group.
If you're loyal, you get along with people, you don't cause waves, you do good work, you coach up players, players like you and respect you. You could be on a staff that gets fired and have a job 2 days later.
Yep.
Now, get the Packers ready, because you might be moving around a lot. But other than that, it's not a bad gig. Guys have made really, really good money being position coaches in the NFL for long, long years. All right, 10:52, Hans and Scotty. Big, again, Jay Hill and Weber State in action coming up on Saturday as they take on Idaho State up in Pocatello. Coming up next, what you may have missed straight ahead. Remember, David Locke's going to join us as well coming up in the 11 o'clock hour right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Ken Pomeroy.
You're a local guy. What's your favorite local sports radio show?
You know, I'm a big fan of the Movie Zone. Is that a sports show?
No. Sports, Ken. Stay with me. Come on, Ken. Come on.
Okay. I guess it would be DJ and PK.
Make a promo out of that.
That was pretty convincing, I thought.
Yeah, you really sold it. That was awesome. It's a pretty low bar here, though, so we're not really going to get all that worked up.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, and I truly, truly love your show and wake up to it every morning. How's that?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Five 1280 The Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Time for another edition of What You May Have Missed. You know, you always tell me that I like need to do more like family vacations.
Yeah,
make
I
more
do.
Memories.
Yes.
It's a pain in the butt, man. It's expensive.
I know. It's horrible. It's just terrible. But
okay, you're not selling it.
No, I can't. It's miserable. It's horrible.
So what are we doing here? Can't we make memories at home, mowing the lawn,
no,
and saving money?
You take them babies with you to go watch you pick up some nice hardware. And you take them to Mount Rushmore. I think that's in that area, isn't it?
South Dakota?
Where are you going for?
Well, I was going to take them to, well, I don't know. They're not listening. I was going to take them back to North Carolina. And there was a thing going down in...
There's some insane...
In the end of June, but now that thing got moved to July. So now I've got to rebook a bunch of stuff, and it's just being a pain in the butt. I lived in North Carolina for... I did the two-year thing out there.
Yeah.
And July in North Carolina is not fun. Like, the weather's barreling down.
Worse than here?
Oof. Yeah, because you got the humidity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's...
Because it's pretty ugly here.
Yeah.
Got that dry heat.
Yeah, but there you got the... It's not the heat as much as it is the humidity.
You soak your pants pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It ends up being worth it. It's just... It's tough. And you know I've got a big one coming up in 3 months.
Yeah.
And trying to take the kids back to New York. And that's... been really interesting because I've had to reschedule flights. We had that scheduled for last year,
and COVID-19 slapped you around pretty good.
Yeah. Cuomo said no,
nobody's coming into our state.
We were like, and remember, we were holding out too. It was like 2 weeks before we were supposed to go, and we're like, because you know, the headache, the nightmare of changing everything.
Well, I remember in March, you're like, hey, you think I can – I'm like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. This thing will be in the rearview mirror by then.
It wasn't quite that confident. It was like, I think maybe.
Yeah.
And I remember just keeping my fingers crossed because I'd already had all the deposits. And the flight thing has been horrible. I'll never fly American Airlines ever again. Like, they've been horrible, terrible people to work with. And so that's been burdensome. Then, you know, getting deposits back.
I don't know if I've ever flown American.
I'll never.
Because I'm like 99% always Delta.
Delta or Southwest.
Well, they had run a promotion for flights to New York from Salt Lake.
Oh, okay.
And I think I got them for like $230 a piece. Something, you know, really good price.
Round trip?
Yeah. Round trip for $230 into Rochester.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, great. So, well, then the pandemic hits. They cancel the flight, not me. They cancel the flight. And they're like, well, here's a gift card. I'm like, well, I could really use the cash now through the pandemic, and we don't know if we'll use American Airlines. Yeah. They said, no, we can't give you any cash back. Well, I go to reschedule my flights, and they're $120 or $130 more per flight. And I'm like, well, can you just put me on the same flight that you had me on for the price that I paid when I originally paid when you canceled on me?
Yeah.
And they're like, no,
no, sorry,
sorry
sir. No.
And I'm just like, I can't believe how it was frustrating. It was really frustrating.
You just got cut off mid-story again.
I know.
No, I just said put Tim in the good.
This marriage has gone too long. He doesn't find me interesting anymore. He just, all he wants me to do is shut my mouth.
And you want to look at the clock
bring
right
home
now.
Money.
Look at the clock.
Just shut your mouth
and bring home the money.
I was going to say, hey, when you're done with the story, let's get to Tim. But then I looked at the clock.
And when you're done talking, there's a basket of laundry that needs folded. So go do that too.
Oh, see, now he's leaving.
It's just that marriage that's like dragging.
We're just going through the motions.
And he knows he wants out.
Keeping it together for the kids, which is me.
He wants out so bad, but we're in this together. We'll get through it.
Katie's hanging out with us from Homie, one of our favorite people out there, because not only is, number one, she a really good person, she's super nice, but she's saving you tons and tons of money.
Tons. What were we, $85 million the last time we talked?
Yeah, $85 million in total savings.
That's just
good,
hands.
Good memory.
That's just hands in his condo.
No, that was $9,000 in savings for me. I add $9,000 to that $85 million. Stop it. But that's why I'm so passionate about this, Katie, because Homie saved me $9,000. All I sold was a little three-bedroom condo, and it saved me $9,000. I would have paid $9,000 to somebody. They would have taken the equity that I had, you know, continually posted into that place as a rental property. They would have taken that from me, and Homie saved it for me.
Yeah, imagine what we could save if you sell your mansion, right?
Yeah, a little bit more. Maybe $5,000-$6,000. No, but you think about this. Let's say somebody out there's got an $850,000 home. They will pay a flat price of $1,500 when they use promo code HANTS, which saves them $500 off the $2,000 sale price at homie.com. $1,500.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or they could buy with us a new house. And they could save that whole listing fee and not have to worry about that. So buy with us and sell for free right now.
Buy through Homie and sell for free. Are a lot of people doing that right now?
Yeah, we actually are seeing quite a lot. It's been really neat to see a lot more buyers come in, and a lot of people really take advantage of the savings. You know, when the average customer saves $10,000 with us. And so if you add just that $2,000 listing fee, that's $12,000. That's a lot of savings that could go into a nice home that they could, you know, upgrade or downgrade or whatever they're looking to do. You know, go to college. We have a lot of people that sell their home and move in with their parents and decide to go get a new degree. And whatever your dream is, whatever you want to do, we're here to help make that happen and save you the money that you deserve. It's your equity. Let's keep it in your pocket.
Let's make it happen. Go to homie.com. That's homie.com. But buy, sell, the loan, title, all of that. You guys take care of that.
Yeah, we take care of all of it. We've got everything under one roof, and we're here to help make the whole process affordable.
Go to homie.com for more information. That's homie.com, and that is Katie. We'll continue to talk more about Homie throughout the show right here on the Zone Sports Network.